I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 13. I'm going to be speaking on this subject, do you really want to be saved? Now, I have a question for every person watching this program, every person listening to my voice. I have a very serious question to ask you. Do you really want to be saved? Saved from sin's penalty and from sin's power and from sin's practice and from sin's presence. Do you really want to know the living God, to love God, to live for His glory? Do you really want, like Enoch, to walk with the living God? Do you really want, like the Apostle Paul, to know Christ and the power of His resurrected life? Do you really want, like John, to fellowship with the living God? He said, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you really want, sincerely, like David, to praise the Lord? Do you really want, like Moses, to see God's glory? Is that your desire? Our Lord said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. A man who wants to know the will of God, Christ said, will know the will of God. A man who seeks Christ will find Christ. Now, here's our text today, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Paul was writing to the church at Rome, and he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, he said, they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge, and they being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about to establish their own righteousness. And then he tells us how to be saved. And he closes with this, and whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let this be established first of all. We must be sincere about this matter. God Almighty will not do business with wavering hearts, an undecided heart. He said in James, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For the man that wavers is like the sea that's tossed about with the many waves, the troubled waves. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We must be sincere in this matter. Do you really want to know the Lord? Do you really want to be saved? Or do you have a wavering heart? God will not do business with a divided heart either. He said no man can serve two masters. He's going to hate one and love the other. He's going to cling to the one and despise the other. It's impossible to love and serve two masters. Our minds are going to have to be made up. God will not do business with a divided heart. God does business with a broken heart, with a contrite heart, with a sincere heart, and with a single heart. God will not do business with insincere hearts. He said, ye shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. Ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's the reason at the beginning of this message, I asked this question, do you really want to be saved? Do you really want to know God? Do you really have a need? Are you sincere in this matter? Are you sincere like the man who said this? I jotted this down years ago. It's been a blessing to me, and I believe this man's right on every count. He says, I am a guilty sinner. I covet to know the Lord. I want to know the living God. God has mercy for sinners. Salvation is to be found. For God is plenteous in mercy. But His salvation and His mercy is revealed in His Word. And I'm going to take this book and make it my business to find salvation or perish seeking it. Now, He is right on every count. We are sinners. The Scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He is right on this count. God is merciful. The Lord is plenteous in mercy. The Lord delights to show mercy. He said to Moses, I will be merciful. To whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Salvation is in Christ. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's in Christ. It's not in the church. It's in Christ. It's not in the law, it's in Christ. It's not in the ordinances, it's in Christ. Salvation is not in the ceremony, it's in Christ. The man's right on every count. We are guilty. God is merciful. Salvation is in Christ, and he's right on this score too. Salvation, redemption, Christ, is revealed in God's Word. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, let's break that text down. I think I can help you if you listen carefully. Last Sunday afternoon, I visited with a dear lady who's very, very sick. She's between 50 and 60 years of age. And I walked in, sat down beside the bed, and she said, "Brother Mahan, I'm lost. I'm lost." Well, let me ask you this. Do you really want to be saved? Salvation is available. Salvation can be found. Salvation's in Christ. God delights to save sinners. That's why Christ came, to save sinners. Salvation's in the Word of God. But we're going to have to turn to his Word. Now, let's break this text down. And you listen to me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, first of all, I'm going to show you five things. First of all, this is a wide, wide word. Whosoever. You know, I'm told that if a man makes out a will and wishes to leave everything to his wife, that the thing for him to do, if he wants to leave everything to her, is just say so. Now, if he starts breaking it down and he starts identifying certain objects and possessions or riches or money, he's going to leave something out. Or he's going to write in a loophole for a shrewd lawyer to contest that will. The thing for him to do is just express it simply. And to the point, he leaves everything to her. And that's what our Lord has done in this will, in this covenant, in this last will and testament. He has made it clear and distinct. He has not identified nationalities. He has not identified personalities. He has not identified individuals. He used one word that covers the whole world, rich and poor. It doesn't matter if you're the richest man in the world. It doesn't matter if you're the poorest man in the world, black and white, old and young. It doesn't matter if you're 90 or 9, learned or ignorant. It doesn't matter if you're a college professor or a laborer. Whosoever, bond or free, Jew or Gentile, male or female, whosoever. This is a wide word. Now, this is better than if God had said in his word. You say, "Boy, I wish my name was there." No, you don't even. Suppose God said, "If Henry Mahan shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved." You say, "Wouldn't that be wonderful?" No, sir, because there may be another fellow by that name. In fact, my grandfather had that name. That was my grandfather's name. So the Lord might have meant him. He may not have meant me at all. He may have meant something back, someone back 4,000 years ago by that name, or 2,000 years ago. But he put a better word. He put a word that covers you and me. He could put a word that covers anyone who desires to be saved. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And this is a wide word. And can you get in here? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let's take the next word. Whosoever shall call. Now this is an easy word. You've heard people call for help. You've had your children call your name when they needed you. You've had your wife or husband call your name when they needed you. You perhaps have called on someone when you needed them. You've heard a call for help, a call out of a need. Take Peter when he was sitting in the boat and he saw the Lord walking on the waves and he said, "Lord, bid me come to you on the water." The Lord Jesus said, "Well, come on." So Peter stepped out of the boat and he began to walk on the water. And he began to be afraid. He saw the waves were so boisterous and troublesome. And he saw the waves and he heard the wind and he looked about him. He was afraid and he began to sink. And what did he do? He called. He called out of a need. He called out of inability. He called out of helplessness. He said, "Lord, save me or I perish." Call. Or like the leper who, when Christ came down from the mountain, the leper walked up to him and fell on his knees and worshipped him and looked up at him and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me whole." Or like the thief on the cross who was dying for his his sins and his crimes against society, and hanging there beside the Savior, he turned to him and he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Master said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Anybody can call. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And let me tell you this, you can call without speaking. You can call by reaching. Isn't that what the woman with the issue of blood did? She'd been sick 12 years. She'd spent everything she had on many physicians and was no better. And she said, "If I can get to him, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." And she came through the crowd and she crawled up to where the Master was standing speaking, and she reached out. That's a call for help. In her need, in her distress, in her sickness, she reached out and touched him and was made whole. You can call without saying a word. You can just reach. Or you can call on the Lord without reaching, just by looking. Isn't that what the people did in the wilderness when they were bitten by the fiery serpents? Why, Moses lifted up that serpent, the brazen serpent, on a pole, and he commanded them to look and live. And that's what our Lord said in Isaiah 45:22. He said, "Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For I'm God, and there's none else." You can call on the Lord without speaking. You can call on the Lord without reaching. You can call on the Lord simply by looking. Look to Christ. What's that old hymn? "I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah. This message to you I give." It's recorded in his word, hallelujah. It's only that you look and live. And you know something? You can call on the Lord without speaking, without reaching, without even seeing or looking. You may be blind. You can call on the Lord by thinking. That's right. God knows our hearts. God looks on the heart. God does not look on the outward countenance. God does not look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Actually, there may be a man all dressed up in religious garb with a crucifix about his neck and praying hands and all of these symbols and signs of religion, and his heart may be in love with himself. He may despise the living God. That's the way it was when the Pharisee and the publican went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee was all dressed up in the garments and garbs of religion, and he stood and prayed with himself, "God, I thank you. I'm not like other men. I tithe and fast and pray and give alms to the poor. I'm not even like this publican." And the Scripture said the publican wouldn't so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast and cried, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." His heart was broken. You know, repentance is heart work. Conviction is heart work. Faith is heart work. This same text in Romans 10, verse 9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." So you can look. You can look. And you can call by reaching, by looking, or even by thinking, desiring salvation. When your heart begins to think on the Lord, when your heart begins to think on your sin, when your heart begins to think on your inability, look to Christ. "Whosoever shall call." Now watch it. Here's another word. And it's the majestic word. It's the mighty word. It's the important word. Now listen to me. We need to camp here a little while. This is all important. "Whosoever." Do you have a need? Do you want to be saved? Now if you're not sincere and you have a divided heart, you want to be entertained, or you want to have the blessings without the benefactor, we need not talk any further. But you really want to know the Lord. "Well, whosoever shall call upon the name," here's the important word, "upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Salvation is by calling on the name of the Lord. Now, man may miss salvation by calling on the wrong name, on the wrong Savior, on the wrong Lord, the name of the Lord. This is important right here. "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord." You know, when Paul wrote the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, he said, "I'm afraid lest Satan, like he tempted Eve through his subtlety, should take you away from the simplicity of Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel." Now, this is what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of men calling on the wrong name. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're going to call on the name of the Lord, you're going to have to call on the name of the Lord of glory, the Lord of salvation, the Lord of creation, the Lord of the Bible, the Lord of the universe. You're going to have to find the right one. Now, his name, now watch this. His name, first of all, is Jesus Christ. That's the name of the Lord upon whom we call if we want to be saved. Jesus Christ. You take your Bible, if you will, and look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The first name mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 is Jesus Christ. You turn to the last chapter in the Bible, the book of Revelation, the last book, the last chapter, the last verse, the last words. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the author and the finisher. He is what the book is all about. He is what the prophets, he is the one to whom the prophets give witness. He is what the ceremonies represent. He is what the psalms sing about. He is Jesus Christ. All right, secondly, his name is the mighty God. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. His name is Emmanuel. Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. With us, God. That's his name. That's his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Not just any God. Buddha won't do. Confucius won't do. Mohammed won't do. No other God will do. Jesus Christ Superstar won't do. You're going to have to call on the name of the Lord. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. Now watch this. His name is Savior. His name is Substitute. When the angels said to Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary to be thy wife, he said, that holy thing which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. Call his name Joshua. Call his name Jesus. He shall save. Not try to save. He shall save. He's the Substitute. His name is Sovereign. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord. You see, a frustrated, defeated, disappointed, disillusioned, a little shepherd boy can't save. It takes the Sovereign Lord who has a name above every name, the one who can conquer Satan and conquer sin and conquer death and conquer the grave and bear the wrath of God and come forward victorious. He's got to be almighty. A great sinner needs a great Savior. A great load of sin needs a great sin bearer. A great debt needs a great Redeemer. And a great note demands a great ransom. You see that? His name is Sovereign. His name is immutable. His name, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Find out who he was before the morning stars sang together. That's who he is now. Find out who he was when it said back there before the sons of God shouted for joy. Back there I was with thee and beheld thy glory. What he was then, he is now and always has been. The same yesterday, today, and forever. His name is our message. I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Holy Spirit's not our message. Christ is. The denomination is not our message. Christ is. The doctrine is not our message. Christ is. You can't separate Christ from his doctrine, Christ from his teaching, Christ from his law, Christ from his commandments. But Christ is the message. And then his name is our authority. He said, go into all the world and preach repentance and remission of sins in my name. His name is our authority. He said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. You go preach. His name is our power in prayer. Our Lord said, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. His name is the song of glory unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. His is the name known in hell. They don't know the name of your church in hell, but they know his name. The sons of Sceva were trying to cast out demons. And the demons looked at him and said, who are you? Jesus we know, but who are you? They know him. They obey him. Because his is the name known in hell. His is the name known on earth. When when Peter stood at the gate beautiful and saw the man lame from birth, he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, rise up and walk." His name is the name known in heaven. In Revelation 22, verse 1 through 4, it talks about his name written on their foreheads. His name. Whosoever, get this now, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you live, how old you are, or how many times you've been baptized to join the church. You need Christ. How many experiences you've had. You need grace. Whosoever, maybe a preacher and miss the gospel, shall call. You're not going to work for it. God's not going to bargain with you. God's not going to let you say, "Now I'll do this, Lord, if you'll do that." God gives salvation. It's the gift of God. It's not whosoever shall serve God, and whosoever shall work for God, and whosoever shall obey God, and whosoever shall give to God. It's whosoever shall call. Call on the name. But don't miss that now. That's where you better camp. Better find out who he is. You can't call on one you don't know. You can't trust an unrevealed Christ. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Son of God shall. Now here's a fourth word, a sure word. Shall be saved. Shall be saved. I love the shalls and the wills of God's word, don't you? There's no if, maybe, or perhaps here. It says he shall be saved. He shall be. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Here I trust my soul's salvation. Here I cast my sins and sorrows on Christ. And I know that if I trust him and believe on him and receive him and commit my soul to him, God says, you shall be saved. You know, the hardest thing in the world is to get people to listen to God's word. They'll listen to this right here. It says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath life, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life. That's clear. If words can mean anything, that's clear, isn't it? But men turn and walk away. They don't believe that. Somebody else can stand over here and say, now you be baptized, God will save you. It doesn't say that in the Bible. If you join my church, the church of which I'm a member, the church of which I'm a preacher, or the church of my denomination, you'll be saved. The Bible doesn't say that. If you do the best you can, God will take you to heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, I read years ago about a truck driver whose name was Rupert Lewis. Years ago, this was 25, 30 years ago, he was driving a truck from Jackson, Mississippi to Vicksburg, Mississippi. And a great rainstorm, a tremendous rainstorm fell, and he didn't know it, but the bridge crossing Pearl River is between Jackson and Vicksburg, and the bridge washed out. It was dark, pouring down rain, and he was driving his big semi down the highway and just ran right off into that river. Well, somehow he got out. He lost his truck, but he got out. And he climbed back ashore. This is a true story. He climbed back ashore, muddy and dirty and cold, and he ran up on the highway, and he ran down a good ways away from where the bridge had washed out. There were no lights. He didn't have any flares or lights or anything. No signs at all. He was just standing there in his wet, dirty clothes, and he saw a car coming, and he waved the car to stop, and the car just went around him right on off into the river. He ran a little further down, and a truck came by, and he stood and waved, and the truck went right around him into the river. They paid no attention to him. And this is true until 10 cars and 2 trucks had gone into that river, failing to heed that man's warning. 16 people dead, 8 critically injured, because they wouldn't pay any attention to what he said. I wonder if that's true of many of us. God's word is here. God's warning is here. God's promise is here. God's gospel is here. God's truth is here. And we just go around it, you know. We're going to have our way. There's a way that seemeth right unto men, and that goes this way and that way and the other way. Why not do what God says? What's wrong with that? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For he that believeth shall not be put to shame. There is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now in closing, here's a fourfold warning, caution. It says, but how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? You're not going to call unless you believe. You're not going to call unless you believe. Unless you believe he's able and willing to save. And then you'll call. And he says, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? Now, you've heard today. I've told you about Christ, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the substitute, the sovereign, the Savior, the one who died on the cross to bear our sins, the one who is the one mediator between God and men. You've heard. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? I believe God sent me your way. I don't believe it's an accident that we had this meeting today. I don't believe it's an accident that you tuned into this broadcast. I believe God has spoken to you. Now I ask you again, do you really want to be saved? When I don't go to a soul winner, don't go to a preacher, don't go to the front of the church, don't go to an altar, go to God. Privately, in prayer, right now, you call on the name of the Lord. Just like that thief on the cross. He didn't call on John or Peter. He didn't say, Peter, how about leading me to the Lord? There's the Lord. Call on him. Call on the Lord, and thou shalt be saved.